in a new series. This is number two on how to turn your setbacks into comebacks. Now, most of you would probably agree with me that it's much easier to start something than to finish something, right? It's much easier to get into something than it is to get out of something. It's much easier to fill your schedule than fulfill your schedule. It's much easier to get in debt than to get out of debt. It's easy to make a commitment, but it's hard to keep a commitment. And you know, one of the things I've noticed is that life is like a marathon. It's like a race. And we all start off running this race of life. And you know, at the beginning of every race, there are a lot of people, and the runners are all together, close together. And the further you go on the race, the further apart the people become, and the more space there is in between each and every one of them. Why? Because we live on a broken planet, and we all have setbacks. We all have problems and trials and tribulations and losses and setbacks in life. And the reason I'm teaching this, because your pastor loves you, and I want you to finish life strong. I want you to finish this marathon well. So we're talking about how God turns your setbacks into comebacks. And by the way, this is also, your setbacks are part of the character building process. It matures your faith. It helps you to become more like the Lord Jesus when you come up against these setbacks and you are able to successfully turn them into comebacks. One of the great enemies of your spiritual maturity, one of the great enemies of you becoming more like Jesus, is discouragement. Discouragement is deadly. It can get you off track. And when you have a setback, and you get discouraged. Discouraged is so common. I mean, we all get discouraged from time to time. Discouragement is powerful. It's universal. It happens to each and every one of us. And you know, it doesn't just happen one time. It's recurring. Discouragement can happen to you over and over. It keeps happening in your life. Well, today, I want us to look at a story in the Bible that illustrates some of the causes of discouragement, but more importantly, the cures for discouragement. And so if you're discouraged tonight, you picked a good week to come to church. And if you're not discouraged, you need to take good notes, because all of us are going to get discouraged from time to time. Now, the story that we're going to talk about tonight is a book in the Bible named Nehemiah. And it's about Nehemiah and his people, the Jews, rebuilding the city walls around Jerusalem. Now, the background is that the Jewish people have been taken into captivity. They have been brought into Babylon. And there they were held as slaves for many years, 70 years to be precise. And then they come back. They come back to Jerusalem, and they begin to look at their city, and their city is so destroyed. There's so much rubble and trash and everything all around that it's a discouraging thing. And then they realize, we can't even begin to rebuild the city until we rebuild the walls. Why? Because the walls were for the protection that they needed from their enemies that would come against them. So let's pick up this story in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is narrating the story, and let's read it here. It's on your outline. Nehemiah says, "So we rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem until it reached half of its original height, because the people worked at it with all their heart. But then," now here's where it turns, "then the other tribes in our area heard about our progress and how the walls of Jerusalem were being repaired and how all the gaps were being closed. And they became very angry. And they all plotted together to attack Jerusalem and to create some confusion to stop the progress. And so we prayed to God for protection. And we posted 24-hour guards. But about that same time, the people of Jerusalem began to complain. And here's what they said. They said, "We're tired and worn out. We can't keep up this pace. Besides that, there's so much rubble to be removed and trash. We now realize that we cannot finish this wall. Meanwhile, our enemies are threatening to kill us in order to stop the work. Those who live the closest to us," that speaking of the Jews who lived right outside the gates of Jerusalem, "those who live the closest to us, our enemies," kept reporting over and over 10 times. And our enemies kept saying, "We will attack you." Now we're going to look at four common causes of discouragement in this passage. And how should we act and what they cause. Now, I want you to write this down, because typically discouragement happens when you're about halfway through a project. If you'll notice here when I read a moment ago, you might want to underline that where it says halfway to its height. Have you ever noticed it's halfway through a project? I mean, when you first start building a church, building a business, building a marriage, whatever it is, when you first start, man, everybody's fired up. Everybody's excited. But when you get about halfway, you know, it's like climbing a mountain. And you get halfway up the mountain. Not that I've ever climbed a mountain. But I would think if you climb a mountain and you get about halfway up there, and you look and you say, "My goodness, I still have half the way to go. And then I got to come all the way back down." That would be discouragement. Now, have you ever noticed, like, for instance, around your house, you're painting a room. When are you the most discouraged? When you're halfway through. Because I always think you're halfway through, and then I got to clean up. So it's usually when you're halfway through your career, halfway through your marriage, halfway through your life. That's why they call it a midlife crisis. And that's often when discouragement will set in. But let me show you some things here. Number one, and you'll want to write these down. We get discouraged sometimes when, write this down, when something takes longer than I expected. And that causes, write this down, fatigue. Now, this is the story. The builders work very, very hard. There's a lot of physical work. And they're physically exhausted. And then look at this. Judah said, "The strength of the laborers are failing." When you're tired, when you're worn out, you can't even think straight. And do you know that most studies they do show that Americans are sleep deprived? And do I want to tell you the number one cause of discouragement, hear me, is physical and emotional exhaustion. It was Vince Lombardi, the great Hall of Fame coach, who said, "Fatigue makes enemies out of all of us, or makes cowards out of all of us." Have you ever noticed that? You know, isn't it amazing how sometimes things can look so bad and you have a good night's sleep and they look so much better the next day? But when you start getting tired, you start getting weary, you start getting exhausted, you begin to get discouraged. You know, that's why God said there's a Sabbath. Every sixth day, I want you to rest. Because God knew that you and I needed to have a day of rest where we could replenish ourselves. And I want you to notice right here, and some of you don't know this, but a guy by the name of Frederick Taylor, you don't know that name probably, but you ought to thank him. Because he started back in 1893. This guy, Frederick Taylor, did studies of people in the workplace, in the steel mills. And you know what he found out? He proved that people accomplish more if they take regular rest breaks. So you thank Frederick Taylor, because he's the reason you have a coffee break. He's the reason you have breaks. Listen to me. Our best requires rest. You know, I learned the other day that bats live 20 years, which is a long time for a small animal. Very long time. And the scientists have found that one of the reasons that bats live so long is that they can go into a deep, total relaxation. And they can lower their heartbeat from 180 beats a minute to 3 beats a minute. That's why they live longer than almost every other small animal. When you're tired, remember, you need to get some rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is to go home and take a nap. When you're exhausted, when your vigor is failing. You know, when you're full of energy, people can say things and it doesn't bother you. But if you're physically exhausted, every little thing bothers you. Your critics get to you. Everybody gets to you when you're exhausted. Look at Deuteronomy 25, verse 18. It says, never forget how the Amalekites attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who began to lag behind. When you're weary, when you're physically exhausted, when you're lagging behind, Satan is going to attack you. And when you're tired, hear me, it is a setup for an attack. And it may be an attack of discouragement. It may be an attack of temptation. It may be an attack of self-pity. But if you are tired tonight, guess what? You're probably going to be facing some attacks. Fatigue makes you vulnerable. Now, there's a second thing. Write this down. A second kind of setback that causes discouragement. Number two, when something is more complicated than expected. In other words, you start out a project, and it not only takes longer, it's a whole lot more complicated than you thought that it would be. It's a lot much harder. And while a lack of rest will cause frustration or fatigue, a lack here will cause frustration. And when you get fatigue and you get frustration coming together, then you have discouragement. You know, I remember not too long ago, I saw one of those Marie Kondo episodes, and I thought, well, I'm gonna clean out my file cabinets. So I'm going to do like Marie Kondo. I emptied everything out in the middle of the room, all the files, and I began to go through them. Well, it didn't take very long before I thought, man, this is crazy. It was so complicated. Where to put this, where to put that, that I finally just gathered it all together and put it right back in the file where I took it from in the first place. You see, you get discouraged sometimes when it's more complicated than you thought it would be, because you have to make so many decisions. And here's the point. Listen to me. Anytime you try building a life, a plan, a project, a hobby, a family, a marriage, you're going to have some complications. And there are going to be things that will take much longer than you expected. And there are things that are going to be more complicated than you expected. And that will cause discouragement. Now look at the second part of Nehemiah 4:10. It says this, the second complaint. They said, we're tired. But secondly, they said, there's so much rubble that we are not able to build the wall. Now follow me on this. They get discouraged because there's so much junk, there's so much rubble, the walls have been torn down, and there are piles of garbage and junk and trash and rocks lying all around, and they can't even move. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you realize, you know, there's a lot of rubble in my life? It could be emotional rubble. It could be relational rubble. It could be material rubble. And I want to tell you, when you realize, man, there's so much rubble and trivial and trash in my life, you know what you need to do? You need to simplify. Simplify. I don't know how to be more practical than that. Look at this. There's some stuff, and I just want to lay this out there, that you got to clear out in your life. There's some things you have to clear out and clean up. Some activities, some relationships, maybe some bad attitudes, maybe some complaining, Maybe some wrong thoughts. Maybe some misconceptions. Maybe emotional or spiritual rubble that you have in your life. You don't see it, but other people see it. And God wants you to be willing to clear that out. That's why you have people like Marie Kondo. Because in all these shows about organization, because people get in over their head and they need someone to help them organize. Man, you know, she walks in, she said, "You've got trash all over the place. Let's get your house cleaned up and let's get it cleaned out." And the question I want to ask you tonight, hear me. What's the rubble in your life? What's the rubble in your life? That was the second cause of discouragement for the Jews of Jerusalem. The stuff that kept tripping them up. The stuff that kept causing them to fall. It might be a habit. It might be a misconception. But it keeps tripping you up. Rubble can be good things. Hear me. Good things. But not the most important. And a good thing can become rubble if it's wasting your time and wasting your energy and it keeps you from accomplishing what is the most important thing. They had one job to do, finish the wall. And they said, "We can't do it because there's so much trash lying around. We can't even rebuild the wall." Well, what do you need to do when you get like that? What do you need to do? You need to talk to God and tell God about the rubble in your life. And you need to ask Him for help. Look at this, Psalm 25, verse 18. It says this, "Come, Lord, and show me mercy, for I feel helpless and overwhelmed and in deep distress." Listen, if you're feeling tonight helpless, if you're feeling overwhelmed tonight, if you are feeling tonight like it's almost impossible for you to see how you're going to continue, there's something that's holding you back. It's a rubble. You need to deal with it. You need to quit putting it off. Deal with it. And then call upon the Lord for help. One of the great things I love about our God is that when we are in need, He is there. All we have to do is call on Him. And He will come to our rescue. And He will come to your rescue tonight. A third thing I want to say here that causes setbacks when we're discouraged. Number three, when I start to doubt my own ability. Write that down. When I start to doubt my own ability. And what that causes is a sense of, write this down, failure. So you add fatigue. Then you've got frustration. And all of a sudden, you're feeling like, "I can't do this. It's impossible." You begin to have a sense of failure. Now it's really getting serious here. And that people are getting discouraged. The people looked at it. Nehemiah 4, verse 10. The people said, "We now realize that we cannot finish this wall." Wow. What happened? They were so enthused. "But then we will never be able to finish this wall." What happened? It was already halfway built, and all of a sudden they're doubting themselves. They're doubting that they can do it. Have you ever felt that way? You're involved in something, and you know it's something God's led you to do, but you have some things happen that discourage you. So, and all of a sudden you begin to doubt your ability. You start doubting yourself. You begin to feel like a failure. And you say, "I can't do this." And you lose your confidence because of frustration or fatigue. And you begin to feel like a failure. And all of a sudden it goes down the drain. And you lose heart and you lose enthusiasm. Now, as your pastor who loves you, I want to ask you a very, very important question. How do you handle failure? How do you react when your plans collapse? How do you react when it takes longer than you thought it would take? How do you react when it's more complicated than you thought it would be? Do you start to doubt yourself? You begin to have a pity party. Oh, poor me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm. You know, you begin to have this little pity party and you invite you, me, and myself, and I. Or do you start complaining and you start saying, it's impossible. We just can't do this. Listen to me. If at first you don't succeed, you're normal. You're normal. Because most people, most human beings, do not succeed the first time. Nobody. Successful people, rather than seeing failure as a failure, a setback as a failure, they see it as a temporary setback. And this whole series on how to have a comeback, you're never going to have a comeback if you start doubting God or you start doubting your feelings. You have to put your faith in Almighty God. And don't let the devil whisper in your ear, you can't do this. You won't finish this. It's impossible. That's the voice of your enemy. Now, fourth thing that causes setback, that leads to discouragement, write this down. When the opposition grows stronger, when you start a project, nobody probably cares. They don't even notice. You don't have any opposition usually when you start. But as you start growing, as you start becoming more effective, the opposition is going to grow. People are not going to like the changes that you're making in your life. They won't like the changes you're making in your family or in your job or the things you're trying to do for the Lord. And the opposition will start coming against you. The more visible you are, the more opposition you will have. So think about these poor people. All of a sudden they have fatigue, they have fear, they have frustration. And if that's not enough to discourage somebody, I don't know what is, because the number four causes fear. And fear is one of the greatest discouragers. And for 70 years, the Jews had been in Babylon. And now even the Jews that lived around there didn't want them to come back. They didn't want them to rebuild the wall, because then they couldn't victimize the people. And then all of the enemy tribes that lived around Jerusalem, they began to come against them. You can read the book of Nehemiah this week and read all about it. One time I preached a series verse by verse through the book of Nehemiah. There's so much good stuff in there. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that tonight. But first of all, they faced criticism. They criticized the builders. They said, you guys, what are you doing? You can't do this. Do you like to be criticized? Of course not. Nobody likes to criticize, to be criticized. The next thing they tried is all of these enemy tribes began to ridicule them. Nobody likes to be laughed at. Nobody likes to be the butt of someone's jokes. We don't like to be the butt of sarcasm. So they criticized them. They ridiculed them. And if that wasn't enough, then the enemy tribes began to threaten them. And they actually said, we're going to kill you. They threatened their very lives. Nehemiah 4, verse 11. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything until we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. Now, I don't know about you, but I would say that's a legitimate reason to get discouraged. Your very life is at risk. Your enemy is wanting to kill them. And then notice, though, the very next verse, verse 12. Who got discouraged first? The people who were listening to the enemy. The people who were listening to the wrong people. If you're not listening to God, and you're listening to unbelievers, or you're listening to the world, and you're not listening to the Word of God, then you're going to get discouraged. Nehemiah 4:12 tells us this. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, They told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, we will be up on you. Now I want you to listen very closely. If you're discouraged, maybe you've been hanging around with negative people. And if you are constantly listening to negative talk radio, negative TV, watching negative television programs, negative chatter and gossip on social media, then you're on a diet of negativity, and no wonder you're getting discouraged. You've got to get yourself into the Word, because if you don't, if you listen to all those voices out there, my friend, you're going to be full of fear. But if you listen to God and you get into His Word, then you'll be encouraged. And you'll know that all things are possible to him who believes. What is God's cure when you feel like giving up? When you're halfway in a project, in your life, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your career, whatever. Where do you find the strength, the motivation to finish whatever you started? You know what? God has started in you. I love Philippians 1:6 that says, "What God, be confident of this one thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will bring it to the day of completion in Christ Jesus." How do I keep going on when I feel like giving up? I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to give you three things real quickly that you can do when you feel like giving up because of discouragement. Number one, it's the very first thing Nehemiah did. Reorganize whatever is not working. Reorganize whatever is not working. Maybe something in your life, in your family. Maybe something in your business, in your job. Or maybe you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it in the wrong way. You ever thought about that? Sometimes you just quit. It may not be that you're doing the wrong thing. Maybe you're doing the right thing, but in the wrong way. And God says, I want you to do it differently. Keep what you're doing, but do it differently. Nehemiah 4, verse 13. Look at it. So I stationed armed guards. This is Nehemiah narrating this. I stationed armed guards at the most vulnerable places of the wall. And I assigned people by families with their swords, lances, and bows. Now let me explain what's happening here. Nehemiah says, okay, here, the enemy is going to attack us. The enemy is going to come against us. And here's what we're going to do. Half of us are going to work on the wall, and the other half of us are going to stand guard. And then the next day, the other half will watch, and the other half will work. In other words, Nehemiah's coming up with a new plan. They didn't give up on the goal of rebuilding the wall. And you shouldn't give up on your goal if it's what God has said to you. What they did rather than give up is they devised a new strategy. So whatever you're feeling discouraged about right now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to stop doing it. It may mean you're doing it the wrong way. If you want to change your schedule, change your lifestyle, change things about you that God wants you to change. Maybe the way you relate to people. And I know the natural temptation is, when you run into tough times, is to give up. But no, 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 1,000 times no. Don't give up. Let's get real personal for a moment. You've got a problem right now. Well, don't give up. Just change your way of doing it. You're deeply in debt. Don't give up. Figure out a strategy. Reorganize your lifestyle. Figure out a way to work those debts out. If you're overcommitted in your schedule, don't quit. Just figure out and recognize what is working and what is not working. And you may have some homework to do from this talk tonight about things in your own life. And then notice what he says. He says in Nehemiah, Hebrews 10, verse 25. Some people have got out of the habit of meeting with other believers, but we must not do that. Instead, we should keep on encouraging each other. He said, the more you're discouraged, the more you're going through difficulty, then the more you need to be meeting with God's people. The more you need to be in God's house, being encouraged. Who are you encouraging? Who is encouraging you? You know, Thursday, a lady at my church in New Orleans buried her 19-year-old son from a suicide. And I could identify with that because I lost my son that way. And I talked to her during the week, and then I went to the wake. She was so down. But when I got to church this morning, the last person I expected to see was this poor lady who just buried her son on Thursday. And I said, I'm shocked to see you here. She said, I knew, this is what she told me. She said, I knew I needed to be among God's people. I knew I needed to be encouraged. And I knew I needed help. So I came to the house of the Lord. My friend, that's what it's all about. Me encouraging you. You encouraging me. Because we're in this thing together. But there's a second thing that Nehemiah did. Number two, refocus on God. Jot that down. That's the very next verse, Nehemiah 4:14. Then Nehemiah says, I looked over the situation and I called together the nobles who were the leaders at that time and the people. And I said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. Now underline that phrase right there. Remember the Lord. Who is what? Great and glorious. He says, you know what? You've been so busy working for God, you've forgotten God. Has that ever happened in your life? You get so busy doing good things, things that you think God would have you be doing, and yet you're busy, 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 and you forget God. You forget to rely upon Him. You forget to look to Him. And you're busy doing the work of the Lord. But you forget about God's work in you. And God's work in us. And what you need to do when you find yourself in that situation is you need to refocus on God. Remember the Lord, Nehemiah said. Recommit yourself to Christ. And draw upon your spiritual resources that you need during tough times. And the Bible says when Nehemiah got discouraged, it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Doesn't say he encouraged himself by watching TV. It doesn't say he encouraged himself by playing golf. It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Remember the Lord. Underline that. What do I need to remember when I'm discouraged? Three things that will change your life if you'll put them into practice. Remember God's goodness to me in the past, God's closeness to me in the present, and God's power for me in the future. And when I remember God's goodness, and I remember God's presence, and I remember God's power, it transforms my life. Now, I want you to remember something. Your thoughts determine your feelings. Discouragement is a feeling. If you want to change a feeling, change what you think about. One of my favorite verses, Jonah 2:7. Jonah swallowed up by that great fish. He's in the bottom of the ocean on a foam blubber mattress in the middle of that big fish there. And notice what he said. It's on your outline. When I'd lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. My friend, that's what you need to do. If you've lost all hope today, you need to turn your thoughts to the Lord. That was David's antidote as well. Look at Psalm 119. David says, I'm completely discouraged. I lie in the dirt. In other words, he was so discouraged, he was just lying in the dirt. He couldn't even stand up. He said, I'm so discouraged, I lie in the dirt. So revive me, how? By your word. If you're discouraged tonight, you need to get into the word of God. You need to have a quiet time. If you're discouraged today, it means you're not spending enough time in the Word of God. You need to spend less time on social media and more time in God's Word. And you'll begin to get encouraged. Do you know that there are studies that show that people who feed on I'm just like all of you. I'm on Facebook. I even have Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. I'm not preaching against anything. I'm just saying if you feed yourself on that constantly, studies show the most depressed people read that stuff all day long. And it gets them more depressed. Because why? You're seeing my highlight reel. I'm seeing your highlight reel. You're not seeing when I'm discouraged. You're not seeing when I'm down. And so you begin to compare yourself. And when you compare yourself, what happens? You begin to get discouraged. Get into the Word of God. Have a daily quiet time. Let God speak to you. Because the Word of God will revive you. It will refresh you. And it will rebuild you. And then there's a third thing that Nehemiah did that you and I need to do when we're discouraged. Number three, write this down, and I'm through when I speak about this for a moment. Resist the discouragement. Resist the discouragement. This is your choice. You're going to have to fight it. That's right. You're going to have to resist the discouragement. You don't give in to it. Nehemiah 4, verse 14, the second part. Then I told them, fight for your brothers and your sons. Boy, these are people who don't want to give up, do they? And your daughters and your wives and your homes. Don't you dare give up without a fight. Friends, listen to me. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in warfare every single day of our lives. We are not on a playground. This is a battleground that you and I as believers are in. And we are called as believers to engage in spiritual battle every day of our lives. And ultimately, we know it's already been won. Because I read the last book of the Bible. And I know who's going to win in the long term. But until then, there are some battles going on. Supernatural struggles. Mortal combat. And Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, and he's accusing you every day, every day. And you know, I've been a pastor now over 35 years, and I've seen it in my life, hear me, listen carefully, and I've seen it in the life of so many other people. Satan's two favorite weapons, either distraction or discouragement. Distraction or discouragement. Distraction to get you off your focus and to discourage you. But James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist those negative thoughts. Resist those negative forces. Resist those negative emotions that keep coming against you and keeping you from developing your full potential in God. Listen, you know the difference between great people and ordinary people. Great people simply refuse to be discouraged. They won't quit. They keep on keeping on. Great Christians are just ordinary people who have an extraordinary amount of determination. You resist the discouragement. Now, the Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And He loves to give you a comeback. He loves to give you a second chance. Matter of fact, that's the theme of the journey. We're a second chance place of grace. And if fear is dominating your life tonight, or the enemy is discouraging you, I've got good news for you. The Lord God sees you in that situation. And the Lord God is going to touch you. And with the touch of His Spirit, all it takes is one touch from God. One touch from God. And you'll never be the same again. Let's pray together. Father, I know tonight that there are those here who are exhausted, they're discouraged, it's taking longer than they thought it would take, it's more complicated than they thought it would take, and they've been distracted. Frustration is in their way. But Lord, I thank you tonight that you've made a way for us to come back. Lord, we must not quit. We must, in the power of the Holy Spirit, keep on keeping on. And Lord, I thank you tonight for your presence here. And I thank you that you are speaking to people in this very room right now. May we hear your voice. May we obey your voice. And most of all, Lord, right now, we resist the spirit of discouragement. In the mighty name of Jesus, and through the blood of the risen Christ on the cross, who rose again, we resist spiritual enemies tonight. We resist discouragement. And we release the power of the Holy Spirit. We release encouragement. It's starting to happen even now. God is encouraging you. God is saying there's a way where there seems to be no way. Why don't you turn it over to me? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you let me have my way in your life? I know what you need better than you know what you need, because I made you and I love you unconditionally. Turn it over to me. Resist the enemy and come close to God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this room tonight. Thank you for the encouraging power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can come together for a few moments on a Sunday like this afternoon and praise you and worship you and be encouraged in our inner man. And so tonight we remember the Lord. We remember your goodness in the past. We remember your closeness right now in the present. And Lord, I thank you that we can remember the power that is available to us as we move into the future. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. What